May 30, 2020, it's a lot for Pedro show.
Go out and buy himself a brand new car. I'll be thinking of doing for you. Please tell me what should I do? I'm thinking of my crew and I don't know what I'm gonna do. Living life in a cabaret. Blues for God, I'll be singing the blues for you.
Watt for Pedro show. I was telling my guests in 19 years and doing the show now, getting near 700 shows are all archived at twfps.com. But I still fucked up and shit. And brother Matt ain't here to help me. He's 3 miles south of Pleasure Point because we're still in quarantino mode here. But I'm not totally man alone. My pad, because the magic of those software engineers in Estonia with their Skype invention, I got Hannah Roy of Red Mass on board. It's Montreal, right?
Yeah, Montreal.
Yeah, great town, man. Great fucking town. A little sweaty in the summer, a little cold in the winter. But
little sweaty. We just had 30-degree weather for the last 3 days, and that's back down to 17, so it's awesome.
Oh, sounds great.
Yeah, because the humidity is, like, too much here.
I try to tell people, they think it's a southern thing. I think it's just east of the Rockies, and that means Canadian Rockies, too.
Yeah, totally.
It's just, you can be real north and still be sweating to death.
Yeah, exactly.
And then that also, the moisture in the air, come wintertime, it can be cold.
Yeah, it just flips on you.
In fact, there's this race where they drag a boat across, like in January or some shit, February. You know what I'm talking about? Across the St. Lawrence. You know, it's all iced up and shit. But these guys, like, I think it goes back a little bit.
Yeah.
Balls out dudes. I mean, they can do it. Like ladies that can do this shit. I want to go through you guys' journey through music. Who wants to go first?
You can go, Hannah. Go for it.
All right. Where should I start?
Well, I'll ask you some questions.
All right, good.
And get this. No, there is no hard questions, and there is no wrong answers.
Okay, awesome.
I should tell people when we start the show off with John Coltrane with Miles Davis doing Fran Dance. And then, of course, since it's not the last day, but the last days, Blue Oyster Cult from the first album, right? Then came the last days of May. You know, they got a tune on that album called I'm on the Lamb But Ain't No Sheep that later became The Red and the Black. But they say Frontenac, Chateau, something. Pat on the border there, I found on tour.
We got the Frontenacs, like a big castle, an old castle they have around here. It's also the name of the subway.
Okay, and it probably meant border, frontera? Yeah, because in the Mexican license plates, they'll say front and kind of the border, right? Anyway, that's the greatest thing about touring, finding stuff like another thing I found on the same time, me and D. Boone, Georgie noticed the Loyalist Parkway, and it had the guy with the three-pointed hat pointing, north, but he wasn't a Yankee Doodle dude. he was a tour guy. they didn't teach us that shit. You know, when the Stooges played Fort York Young in Toronto, they blew up.
Yeah.
I didn't know about that shit, that we actually started that war and tried to grab. Anyway, I'm getting off the point. Okay, hey, your earliest musical record. Oh, yeah, then I fucking forgot why I asked you on the show, because of the new album, and the Life is Cabaret, right? You got all these guests, and we're going to talk about that, but I want to go back, like I said, with your journey. So, Hannah, your earliest musical recollection.
Oh, my earliest musical recollection would be, like in what sense, me playing music or just...
No, just music, loving. Like you hearing something. I had this dude on, he said he was 3 years old, he remembers hearing the radio and shit.
Yeah, okay, so I'm pretty much back there, too. I've loved music my whole life, and my dad is quite a good piano player, so he used to play piano for us, and we'd dance around in the living room. Like, he'd play Bach often for us.
So and there's a piano. There's a piano in the pad. What town was this? Was this Montreal?
No, I was born in Perth, Ontario, near Ottawa.
Yeah.
Then my family, we moved around a lot when I was a kid. My dad's a professor, so we ended up he did a postdoctoral thing in Boston. Then we moved to Minnesota. We moved out to the East Coast, Nova Scotia, And then we ended up in Egypt for a while, and then we ended up north in Iqaluit in the Arctic for my teenage years.
Jesus Christ.
And then I came down to Montreal for school and ended up dropping out and doing music.
Now, there was always a piano in the pad because he's a piano player?
Yeah, always, always.
Now, did you get the lesson thing?
I got the lessons.
Now, you know, we've had several guests on the show that's been through this, and it's been everything from really good to really fucking lame and almost wanting to hate music. And it seems like it's a lot about the teacher.
Oh, it is. I had my dad was kind of intense. He'd make me practice a lot, so I felt a lot of, like, pressure. I ended up giving it up eventually. I had this terrible, kind of not very nice teacher in Minnesota, and she's really rough on me. And she discovered that I wasn't actually learning how to read music. I was just doing it by ear, and she, like, freaked out at me, and I totally lost interest after that because it was just how I was seeing myself. And then I was, like, you know, overwhelmed with the fact that I was teaching myself how to do it wrong, and I lost interest. But I ended up joining a choir and picking up guitar.
Well, I was going to ask you about school. Were you in the choir, the band, marching band, shit like that?
Yeah, I was. I did, like, high school plays, musicals. I was in a touring choir in grade 5 when we lived in Minnesota called the Angelic Cantante. So we used to just, like, they'd load us, all us kids up on a big bus, and we'd tour around to different churches and stuff like that.
Yeah, so you were on tour.
Yeah. With, like, I don't know how they did it. It was, like, 2 giant buses of kids and, like, 6 super patient adults that came with us.
Yeah, I want that fucking job. Yeah. Herding cats. But, what was the first record you bought for yourself?
The first record I bought for myself, my dad brought me to go, he'd bring me to go buy music a lot. I got Abbey Road, like, the first time I chose something.
Beatles, okay. Right. What was the first gig you went and saw?
The first gig I went and saw would have been, I can't remember. My parents would bring us to barn parties and stuff all the time when I was 3 or 4, like, I've been watching music for my whole life.
I never heard of barn parties.
It's in Ontario. They have them often. It's just people set up a band in their barn, and everybody brings their tents and camps in the fields and stays overnight. And
does it got odor to it?
Sorry?
Does it got an odor to it?
The barn? They're usually not, like, used barns. They're like hay barns or something like that. Which is, like, probably not super safe, but...
I'll tell you, because I've done some fucking county fairs and stuff, and they'll hang jasmine and stuff because there's cow shit everywhere.
Oh, yeah. These are artist barns, so they would be, like, you know...
Oh, like Jackson Pollock painted in a barn.
With, like, a cool barn and
okay. It's been, like, kind of repurposed.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, what about the shit after school... in the bedroom or the garage or the barn or the basement, you make bands with your friends.
Yeah, I did. In when I lived up north, there was a ton to do. It's a town that has 7,000 people, and it's the capital city of Nunavut that we lived in. It's on an island. You can't drive off the island. You have to take a 3-hour flight north from Montreal to get there. So we were kind of, like, pretty isolated, and there were a lot of people who did music up there, and we just started bands, and we'd go in a freezing cold garage or somebody's. Well, there were no basements in Iqaluit, too, because of the permafrost, so we'd basically be jamming in, like, people's living rooms or garages if they had one. But
now, I'm curious. Like, D&D Boone, right? We learned by copying off records, like Blue Oyster Cult records, right? Did you guys do that, or were you songwriting right away?
No, we were definitely doing the covering different bands. Like, I mean, the guys I played with, we were doing a lot of, like glam rock stuff, like Motley Crue
Can I tell you the first gig D&D Boone saw? We were boys, you know, our first concert.
What is it?
T-Rex.
Awesome.
Everybody says that.
That's so
Everybody
awesome.
Fucking says that. You know, of all the bands that you can see, you know.
Hello,
for some reason. Yeah. It was bitching, too. I mean, he was little because it was like 3,000-seater auditorium, you know. It wasn't a club. We didn't know about clubs till the movement, you know. I want to play something here off your new record. That Roy had me come on, and it was a trip. You know, I thought he was going to have me play bass. No. You sing with us, Watt.
So, well, you did both. That was great.
I know, but I thought it was going to be only, you know. You know.
I actually didn't know if it was really you at first when I, because I hadn't met you in person. So when we're doing this internet exchange, I wasn't sure who, if I was talking to maybe a fan off your site or something. And then when you sent back those tracks, I was so happy. It was really
so fun.
It wasn't the fake mic one. It was the real one. Let's.
Cliff, put that in, I believe, the pasteurist sense. Maybe not that. Maybe skeleton makes good. Teat, Jeff, hurry. I'll tell you if you're wrong, but hurry.
Damn cracker. Soggy. Salty.
Geometry Street, I ran over a whistle.
Those words are for Ink Mathematics. Geometry Street and what's that?
Crawled over the razor blade. Got slammed in the door of the ground. This is one worm that the fisherman never found. It was a bookworm. The worm crawled over the razor blade. Got pressed in a book and the fisherman never found.
Hi, I'm Jim Morrison. I just got out of the bath. The swimming pool is doing flipped out turns. As you state into it like the TV set, ripples and murking, obscuring. Deep in, Brian, pass another tab. Smoke another joint. Do a few more steadying lines. Turn the knobs in a frenzy trying to find test pattern, any test pattern. Make meaning of your life and mysterious death. Brian, cut back, motherfucker, in reruns if you must. But tell me what they taste. Pardon my grammar, but Lord, let me taste it right, like I knew they would.
hits me right on the side of the head. Really just wanting them dead. Not so much something they said. Wanting to stop seeing red. They don't know who they're messing with. One excuse after you do. Take some time up with the crime. Lots of ways to make them pay. Why don't they just leave me alone? Can't they see I'm in the zone? Sure, this time it was just the tone. Like to drop them like a stone. They don't know who they're messing with. One excuse, I'll do the do. Take some time, avoid the crime. Lots of ways to make them pay. Wonder if they see it in my eyes, or if it is a total surprise. Luckily the feeling always dies. I may be starting to realize they don't know who to mess with. One excuse, I'll do the do. Take some time, avoid the crime. Lots of ways to make them pay.
Is a hellhole, not the place to be. It's far worse now than Deutschland, Spain, and Italy. Just blame Corona, visible enemy. Everybody stay at home, avoiding all their friends and me. They say Brazil is next, South America too. They say that Africa and all the world through will get Corona, omnipresent enemy. They're trying to find a shot that will cure the likes of you and me. They got thousands of bodies, so they're burying them in the park. You never see them do that because they do it after dark. Blame Corona, visible enemy. Corona, you're the one we need to flee. You shut down all the stores, the nightclubs and the whores. You took away the jobs, made us all stay home. Corona, you killed the world for folks like me. You emptied out the cities, put everyone in solitary confinement. You killed all the airlines, all the hotels too. You killed all the music tours, all the concerts too. Corona, made the world watch TV. You emptied out the concert halls, no one left to see. You even killed Uber, Lyft, Airbnb, and everyone stopped Tinder dating so freely. Corona, party pooper to the stars. In celebrity culture, you really did go far. You killed all the parties, art exhibits too. You killed the work of all performers and their minions too. Corona made us all stay in our room. Now everybody lives on their iPhone and their Zoom. You made the world scramble. What we gonna do? How we gonna pay the rent? How would we get food? Corona, a light in the tunnel for me. Made us all wonder how a different world could be. The princes of fake money to keep the world the same. The show this is a war, the rich against the poor. Corona, the bringer of liberty. There's got to be a way to rethink world economy. Instead of serving profit, serve all families. Helicopter money forever, Medicare free. Corona showed another way to be. There's got to be a brand new way to reinvent world economy. Think about it.
Nine times five.
Off Pedro Show. Yeah, life's first time's a bitch. Life's a bitch. It's not just a slogan. Featuring Mike Watt, Red Mass, and from this new record, lots of collabs and really good fucking. You know, there's all these collabs and stuff, but it's still very coherent and together. You can tell you cats are the core, and then you brought on Passengers. Yeah, it's interesting. Geometry Street and World Crawled Over the Razor Blade by Cat Beat. Some kind of poetry. He ain't really using words. It's whistles and sounds. But, you know, this is after he stopped music. Bilge Pump from Leeds in England with Wheel of You. Must be an old England. Y-E-W. Or maybe that's a sheep. Right? A U? No, maybe that's with an E. I don't know. Fuck. Super Session, Raymond Pettibone's band, some mix, early mixes of the next album. And Raymond singing Morrison Blues, riffing on Jim Morrison. Jip from Swenson Claim. That's Quebec, but I think near, what's the French side of the river? Ottawa. Hull.
Hull, yeah, that's
once,
it.
Once I got to play, I got to play in Hull once.
Is Gatineau the French side?
Gatineau, yeah.
Yeah.
Or twice. Oh, yeah, is that right? Okay. And there was a club there after the, whatever that, Adams, Douglas Adams, Zaffrod Beeblebrox or some shit. Okay, you guys remember, okay. But that's the second time. Minutemen played there, and I can't even remember the pad, but we played with Porcelain Forehead, which is kind of famous, and My Dog Popper. They had red styrofoam mohawks. Yeah, so I think that's the first Minutemen tour of Canada.
That's crazy.
I also got to play up a Shoe Clock, Quebec City, the only time I've got. One day I'm going to do Maritime, but, you know.
Oh.
Pretty. Really pretty out there, but, yeah. it's a bit of a hike.
It's a hike. Okay, then we heard, so that was Swens and Klein. And then people from K Solita, which is K from Black Flag. V Vale, who was first keyboard player, Blue Cheer, actually, with Corona 2. Pat Irish from Upstate New York with Cast of Doubt 9. And finally, Howl, Red Mass. And I, of course, thought of Mr. Ginsberg and his poem. And Shig getting arrested, you know. Though Shig had to go to court and all that shit. He was the bag man. You start doing your stuff, Hannah, with the homebrew. And copying off records.
Yeah.
And like you said, you went to college, but you dropped out. In college, did you take music?
No, I didn't. I took English Lit Theology. And, I took, the reason I left is because I took a very unfocused bunch of courses. And they were asking me why I was there. And I realized I didn't really know why I was there. So.
Yeah.
And then I joined Red Mass, and we just kind of like focused on that.
Yeah, you know, it might have been interesting if you would have liked, wow, I'm going to go to college for music.
Yeah, probably.
That's what your pop did, right? He was like a faculty.
So what my dad did, that's kind of why I feel like if I had, growing up in Nunavut too, it was hard to figure out what I wanted to do because it was just so removed from the rest of the world. Like it took me a while to find my focus when I got down to the south again from there.
It's really isolated.
It's a very different world to be in, you know?
Like that's where we met and I went up to try and I thought maybe I could do a studio up there. I was like, I'll be able to like hack it up there. That'll be great. You know, it'll be fun. I'm sure I'll manage. And then I went up there and it was a little bit much for me. You do get a bit of the Shining feeling. It's really isolated.
Bleak.
So I decided to do Montreal instead of staying up in the Arctic.
Yeah. Roy, your turn now. Your earliest musical memory.
My dad had taught me guitars when I was really young, guitar playing. And
Was he a guitar man?
Yeah, he played guitar. He was really into like old soul, Otis Redding, classic rock, Led Zeppelin, all that kind of stuff. So he had records and I would record little radio shows of myself hosting radio shows for myself. Basically, yeah. I was alone. Didn't have brothers and sisters. So I just locked myself in my basement and do little radio shows. And then he taught me guitar. Then I went, I took classical guitar lessons for a while. And then I started playing shows really young because I used to play restaurants and banquets and buffets.
You mean like man alone, busking?
Yeah, yeah, kind of brutal. Like, but
what
good
about
way
the
to
school?
Yeah,
did you do the school thing? Choir or the marching band or shit like that?
No, I did more through the guitar teaching. I did like, I started doing shows more in restaurants and stuff like that. Okay. So I had a one-on-one teacher, and he taught me. He was like, it was kind of weird because he played with open blues slide tuning, but he was teaching me normal tuning. So it was a little bit weird, but it kind of opened up my ear. And, he got me to play in restaurants and stuff, which I dreaded and didn't really like at first, but it got me kind of over my fear or whatever, any fear I had of performing in front of people, especially for if you're playing for people eating who really don't necessarily want to be seeing you. It was a good way to kind of break the ice and people with their mouth
full. Did you do anything with your buddies though? Did you do any band stuff?
After that, I started by myself, okay. And then I started doing bands when I was more of a little bit early teens. But I came from a small town, and my friends were a little bit more in kind of music that didn't really grab me as much. And then I came to Montreal, and then I met people that were a bit more akin to my taste. I played in a dance hall reggae band for a while, and then I started playing with more punk bands, playing kind of more rock and roll stuff where we do like Ricky Nelson songs, but faster. You know, we love Teen Generate, all that kind of stuff. And that kind of opened up our ears to like the kind of more garagey punk. And I mean, I saw a lot of shows young. I saw you play
Foo Phone
at
Electric,
the Auditorium
Foo
with
Phone
Primates.
In the old days, Foo Phone Electric. And,
yeah.
And I think
around.
We opened up for the Nils. Not the Dills,
yeah,
but the Nils. A great band, a power trio.
Really good band.
Yeah. Yeah. So, did you go to college for music?
No, I went to college for I went in science. I did science, then law, and then I gave up law to do music.
Yeah, yeah. You know, life is, I think, about searching around. This idea where you just plug into a, program, I don't know about that.
I don't think so. I mean, yeah. I guess it's each person's different like that. Some people, they need that kind of direction and frame, and some people really need to more experience different things to see where they are and how they, emotion. Some people are also have more of an emotional lean. Well, they'll go for things that are maybe give them more of a satisfaction, like on a emotional level. And some people don't necessarily seek that out. But if you're making art, you're always kind of going a little bit more for that. I find on my end,
I'm kind of talking about. If it doesn't work out, it's not actually a failure. It just didn't work out.
Yeah, nothing. I think everything's part of the learning. You know, people see, we're so based on success and failure. Where failure is in itself going through something's a success.
You can relate. What about this, Roy? A skateboarder. He falls down. But that's because he was trying, it's hard to do something good the first time, maybe.
For sure, man. I mean, I skateboard for a while, too. And, the sacrifice of, going, sometimes hurting yourself a bit or just even keeping at it.
Getting back up. That's what I meant.
Get back up. It's a lot of time that you invest, but that time in the long run, it's not a failure. That's
definitely not a waste. Just like when we do music, we're always... When we play, we're getting ready to play for the next time. Look, we're at the end of the first hour, May 30, 2020, edition of Wild Pedro Show. Special guest, Red Mass. Hold tight for hour two. May 30, 2020, it's the second hour of the Wild Pedro Show.
She's covered in diamonds and furs, gold necklaces shine in the light. She is on the prowl, a queen.
Yeah. きないことを信じること」
This is called Ain't It Fun When You're Gonna Die Young. It's dedicated to Jane Scott, because she'll never die young. She'll be forever 16. tumors at the moment.
Thank you. shine, you know it's a hype. I'm just a negative freak.
Show start off the second hour with Red Mass doing Diamond Girl. Now, this doesn't have, same with Hal, it doesn't have a list. So some of these guys, you didn't have collabs.
I mean, it's not everybody who's, like, some songs have guest vocalists, like you sang on some songs, but that one, I think Diamond Girl, I sing. It's like one of the only songs I sing on,
I
and Hannah.
Talking about Howl,
oh, Hal, Hannah sings that one. Yeah, yeah. That one, they're still guests, because, like, the band's just.
Well, but before we get to the record. Let's get to it, because Hannah kind of alluded to it. How did Red Mass get together?
Oh, we,
Well, I started it, like, years ago. I had, like, a bit of a, I cleaned up my life a bit, and then when I came out I came out of rehab, and then, I started the band trying to do something more positive, and I was kind of tired of a lot of, like, kind of, the people I was hanging around with and kind of the I don't know, just like I wanted to start fresh and do a more positive project, and I was really inspired by a lot of the kind of free jazz cats and just that idea of like the kind of oneness of sound and the universe and love and all that. So we wanted to do a band that we didn't have to really stick to a, like one format or even stick to the musicians. It was just more like a kind of a free for all, people coming in and out. And, we wanted to do something different, and it was a good way to, like, cause I mean, every genre has, like, kind of been, a lot of genres have been, you know, pretty tapped out, so it seemed like a good way to do something really different was to have, like, to change the form, like, to kind of try to do something more experimental in the format of the band, less than the sound. Like, we do experimental jams and improvisations, but we wanted the band itself, the way it works, to be atypical and to get us out of our comfort zone of having like kind of, you know, the set sound and arrangement. So like after that, it totally opened up the doors. I started the band with this dude Ricardo, for a while, and then he eventually stepped out. Like, we're still friends. It was, and then you know, for a while, I did it a bit by myself, and then Hannah came in, and at that point, we decided.
That's why I'm kind of interested. You had this thing going. It was kind of a big tent proj, kind of loose, so it could, grow organically.
Yeah.
And then Ricardo, you start with, he leaves. Hannah, is this after college? You guys met in Montreal, right?
Yeah, we met in Montreal. So I was playing in, like, I had a few little projects that I was doing. And then I ended up joining Red Mass, and we started working really, really hard. We lived really close to our jam space, so we were going there a lot, and just, like, pretty much every day we were just doing hours of music together.
We also, like, started dating, and I think we realized our tastes were so similar. Like, I went to her place for the first time, and she's listening to Captain Beefheart, and it kind of blew my mind. I was like, oh my God, this... Like, obviously, we're not just, like, getting along. Like, we really have, like, some of the same passions and love. So we started, she just came in. We started doing just recording different people, switching it up, traveling. We both love traveling.
It was about gigs, too, right? It was kind of a recording project, but it was about gigs also?
It was. The point of it, too, I think, was really to have a project. Like, we hung out with people from so many different fronts of music that we wanted to be able to just bring whoever we wanted into the project and use what they put out rather than have them conform to something. So the idea was that they could bring in what they were great at and add that, and we would work that into the song rather than the other way around, where you're taking... you know, a certain someone to play something because they sound what you want the sound to sound like. Like, we were letting the people who were involved form the sound from the beginning. So it's all over the place, but that was kind of like the way we went about it.
Like Woody Allen, no scripts, right? He lets the characters improvise.
Yeah.
Well, because it's a bit of trial and error. Like, at first when we're trying to force them to, not force, but, you know, like, you're trying to, get somebody involved in a type of song that maybe sometimes it wasn't. Sometimes it works to get people out of their comfort zones, but sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah.
So you kind of want to be working with, like, more in the artists who we're collaborating with, kind of universe, than trying to pull him in. Ours sometimes. I mean, it goes both ways. Like, each song, you know, like with that kind of stuff, like, there's a billion ways to work. So it really depends how. You know, the main thing is it's got to be fun and comfortable, or not always comfortable, more fun. Like, you can be uncomfortable and have fun for the people that we're working for, with, and just, like, that's been kind of the drive, just to, like, always, like, each song's kind of its own entity, and we really try to give it its own life without thinking of necessarily trying to conform it to our other songs or other sound, you know? We try to let it live on its own.
That's everything to serve the tune.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, let's listen to Devil in Disguise.
uppity little goat. Don't you even know you're dead? Please release the past. Your future's in your head. We hollowed out our Bible to hide our golden guns. We've raised the silver gallows in the jewelry of your son. That tattered flag is crimson with the blood that can't be wrong. Take one last drag of night air. Since that blackness in a lung, as we hoist another nightmare. Look away, look away. Move along, nothing to see here. Look away, hey there. Hey, leave as close as we hear. We don't need a reason. Keep your dreams and we can see them. Like that. Oh, baby, right there. Another nightmare in America. It's another nightmare in America. Ain't no use praying. There's no soul there to save. Boy, you're just the difference between a hole and a grave. And that's exactly how they'll mark it, even if a camera sees us. I filled out some paperwork and sleep like baby Jesus. Look away, look away. Move along, nothing to see here. Look away, hey there. Are you even supposed to be here? We don't need a reason. Keep your dreams and we can see them. Just like that. Oh, baby, right there. Just another nightmare in America. Just another nightmare in America. Sad and neat, that conviction makes it right. What you're calling a tragedy, I call just another night. We operate a firepower, and really what did you expect? If you'll allow me to interpret, the power to protect. I say it's six in the chest, two in the neck, you look away. Look away, move along, nothing to see here. Look away, hey there, are you supposed to be here? We don't need a reason. These bullets scream freedom just like that. Oh, baby, right there. Just another nightmare in America.
For Pedro Show, yeah, that is Devil in Disguise, Red Mask featuring Drug Train. And we're talking about a Cramp song with that same name. And I guess Roy, they knew that, the band, right?
Yeah, that's how they named it after the song, I'm pretty sure.
And then Corey Brannon with Another Nightmare in America. Another one. Senor Al from South London with everybody's, not the London on the way to Windsor, but the one England. What was the club there? Call the Office. Trippiest club.
Oh, yeah. London, Ontario. Call the Office. Wow.
Call the Office. What a name. I played there like 6-7 times.
A very
singular place, too. Trippy. The way it was. It was never organized for music, but I had a lot of good gigs there.
Huge venue, too, for a, kind of a... London's not the biggest town.
No, not at all. Not at all. It's just a stop on the road, right? And then... yeah, Everybody's Sunshine. A Sunday Morning with Megadote. That's tomorrow, but we do it early. Okay. And My Drugs from Red Mask featuring John Kastner and Evan Dano. And Evan's an old friend of mine from the Lemonheads. And you were talking about Boston. He's from that area. So tell me about the first Red Mask gig.
The first one was... It was a day gig. We played at a skate, like there was like a bar with a skateboard ramp.
That's and Foot Fun Electric.
Yeah, we played Foot Fun Electric. That was our first show. And it was like
electric.
A.
Okay.
People, and somebody asked me to get it together for, they had, basically I booked a show without a band yet. We didn't have a band. So it was just like Ricardo and me recording, and then we kind of got the band members together for the show about a month later at Foot Fun Electric.
Yeah, I got to tell the listeners, in the old days in Montreal, that was the big pad for the scene. The pad. And, you know, I mean, like, I don't know, the Ritz in Manhattan or something. You know, it was the big gig, you know, I-Beam in the city.
It was like our Whiskey of Go-Go.
Whiskey in the West Hollywood, I was just going to say. It was a big... big deal to play there, and I got to a couple times, and big honor. What was that gig like? Was it just the two of you?
No, we had like 10 people at that point. Like a horn section, a guy covered in paint dancing. It was a bit of a, it was fun, but it was kind of weird at that point because we'd always get guests coming in, so the practices were always with different members, so we'd never do a full lineup, so the shows were pretty chaotic at that point, but fun, you know, it was just like a different vibe, a bit more like horn, so a bit more free jazz in there, but it was a fun show. That place was kind of scuzzy before Foot Fun, and when I was young, I would go there because it was one of the only places you could go in with fake ID.
Yeah, it was pretty beat up, but the thing about this early Red Mask is unpredictable.
Totally unpredictable. Yeah,
that's one of the things I like about the old days of the movement. You didn't know what the gigs were going to be like. They were crazy.
Yeah, sometimes they weren't good, even, you know? Like, I'll be the first to say it. Sometimes they, that's the thing. When it was good, it could be amazing because you have this moment of, like, when you mix, like, something that you're not expecting and it really works, you have this double feeling of, like, oh, yeah, we nailed it. And sometimes it doesn't work as well, but that's fine. We keep the shows kind of conceptual. We did this one show, it was like, a ripoff of, like, the Sun Ra Disco 3000, so we kind of did, like, a free jazz version of...
our own songs.
Yeah, of our own songs, basically. But,
it's great. I mean, that's what I think Expression's about, fucking letting the freak flag fly. We're at the end of the second hour, May 30, 2020, edition of Pedro Show, special guest, Red Mask. Hold tight for hour three. May 30, 2020, it's the third hour of the Watt for Pedro Show.
lies on this prairie-style mansion across this wide expanse of a yard. It feels great when you are on a mission to work and succeed, to walk in and join the process. It's more than a beautiful building. It's where we stake our lives, to plan our futures, to join in the work order day, to make something, to become an accepted person and function well in society. We plan through three departments. Cafe will fuel our hearts and stomachs. Membership and communication department to lead us on through our day, and biz to tie it all together. I love this house because I feel welcomed in. I have developed here. I know my place in the stream of things. Your house helps to keep me alive and functioning and giving back to society.
In 1912, I All my broken heart.
Peebo Show. We start off the third hour with Red Mass featuring King Khan, great cat, now in Berlin, but yeah, Canadian originally. And he's got his own thing, man. He's beautiful. Kind of garage, but that's where it ends. It's all King Khan after that.
Yeah.
Including the wife's costumes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. To Fall from Grace. And Carnival Jones after that, Ghost Train, I Love Yahara House, Joe Brewer, Jack Brewer from Sacred Trust, Cousin Madison, Dream Phases, Fright Man, Atlantis, Aquarius, The Voice Aside, Gone Too Fast, Living Morgue, all good Nomadio record stuff. And then finally, Red Mass featuring Jared Gamir with Young Lovers. Probably terrible pronounce, sorry. So tell me about this record.
Yeah, we started this ages ago. Like, it started with the idea of the Diamond Girl song. We wrote that about, I was reading Don Quixote, so we kind of created this character, like, a little bit like Don Quixote, where instead of being Don Quixote, it's like a model who falls from grace, and we're reading a lot of Bret Easton Ellis books, so we kind of wanted to tie in this kind of decadent, a little bit void universe of, like, kind of youthful decadence. So we, you know, kind of mix Don Quixote and, I don't know, Less Than Zero and try to make a story around it. And basically we've been writing around that story for, I don't know, like 8 years and then just bringing in people. But because it gets a bit complicated sometimes with the collaboration. So we decided not to give ourselves a deadline and just to take the time we needed to get it done. Just also so people can take the time they need to record their tracks. And a lot of it was done at a distance. So, later, 8 years later, we finally, like, kind of weaned down the songs we really liked. And then we kept a lot of the other material. We're going to come up with a following record. Like, this record's based on the idea, basically, the character falls from grace and has a psychosis because she has a multiple personality disorder and the personality split. And we're trying to explore the idea with a follow-up, like Grant Morrison, he's an author who put out this, you know, this idea that we should have a multiple personality complex, which would allow us to relate to people more and kind of morph our personalities in order to empathize and be more understanding. So the second side of this record, so we're doing a follow-up called 111, which is like an angel number. It's like a magic number. Anyway, where at that point the character embraces all her different personalities, and each personality is going to be a chapter of the next record, which is like has about 111 songs separated into chapters of about 10 songs each. And so basically that record is going to be kind of a contradiction to this one, where this one, the character at the end, falls apart and has a psychosis, where we're trying to explore what if she would have basically embraced all these personalities conflicting in her and basically lived with them in unison, which would allow to avoid. And it's a bit of a reflection on a societal psychosis also due to, I don't know, just like separation and the rifts that we see with, you know, the different social groups where, you know, unity is always, I think, the main love would bring people together and avoid these psychoses. But that's kind of the idea. So the main record, Hopeless Noise, is all based around that. And we've, you know, we decided to work with different people. So each person can represent an aspect of her voice, basically, like is like one personality character, or one character.
Yeah, Sybil.
That's up in her.
Like Sybil, right? Three faces of Eve.
Yeah, yeah. So then we got, you know, different collaborators, and the more it went, the more we fought. It was also really fun. It's like it was kind of a new way for us to work. So we just started reaching out to people. We love their music. People we're fans of, our friends, like our dads are on the record. A lot of our buddies, once they found out we're doing this, and they, let's say we had a musician they like, they're like, oh, I want to play on that track too. So we're like, yeah, sure, why not? So we just like, it kind of grew from there. And our friend Sebastian Perry did most of the arrangements with us, and the more the mixing. We kind of did the arrangements. Yeah, more the producing. So we went there, and he had access to a studio after hours, so that allowed us to go over years and just keep, you know, kind of working on this thing. Like, what do you do with a rock?
Otherwise, it wouldn't have been cost-effective.
Yeah, chiseling at this beast. And it's been more fun than anything, but it's a complicated process to have so many people. We have about 100 people involved in the record, but it's really fun, you know, like the main, we're super happy with how it came out, and it's just like, if anything, like the process was such
it
a cool
time.
Experience,
yeah.
You know?
Well, I feel kind of silly because I want to play this tune bored because it doesn't sound bored.
I'm I was fucking with fish in a barrel. I was fucking with fish in a barrel. Anyway, boots, waterproof, steel tips, trying to add it up twice in a row. Clueless little jerk-offs, glued to the stigma at the heart of this never-ending show. You know, you can get tested for that if you're totally terrified of all the crumbling society has to offer. You can get tested for that, man, if you're totally terrified of all the crumbling society has to offer. I'll cash in the coupon while you eye the tip jar. Yeah, and complain about going blind down in the coffers. Kicking the bench and humming along to the big pop sound of the big fat zit. Yeah, when I'm finished looting Earth Fair and cooking with coconut oil, I'm gonna push you assholes into the pit. I'm gonna drag you over the train wreck that marks the spot on the stage where too many members converge, stake a claim on the tracks. I'm gonna tie you to, and then with the $30 I made, I shall indeed splurge on the headstone that suspiciously resembles a sandwich board. Then I'll drill that sucker with some chalking that'll say, the next time you idiots come by 106 East Jackson, you better keep right on fucking walking. Yeah, you better keep right on fucking walking. You better keep on fucking walking. Right on. Right on, baby. Too many members on the stage. You only need three. At the most. Three. At the most. Three. At the most. Fucking with fish in a barrel. I was fucking with fish in a barrel. I was fucking with fish in a barrel. Not real fish. No, I would never fuck with real fish. No. We'll be right back.
I'll take your hand and steal your mind. Inside illusions sleep, they fall like night, and you can't see. You live a lie.
Inside illusions live.
they fall like nuts, and you can't see. You live a life.
Lot for Pedro Show, last music for this edition. Red Mass with Bored. Red Mass alone, no guestage. Bark after that, then we stuff from Knoxville. Bark with It's Your Grave, Omfu, Oh Man, Fuck You, right? Fucking with Fish in a Barrel. Police Cops after that from Midnight Bomber, What Bombs at Midnight. I think that's from a Tick character. Somebody's telling me. And then Henry Kaiser. He does a lot of skin diving in Antarctica. He's a happening guitar player. El Tren a Fantasma, part 2 of 5 with Alvaro Domene. And then finally, Sharp. Red Mass featuring Mac DeMarco and Ian Wilson. So where can people find you on the internet, Roy Hanna?
Well, we don't have a website.
No, we don't. You need to get one.
Careful with the internet.
But, yeah, we got our the records on Mothland. They're like a local booker. They do a psychedelic festival here. Olivia Lunch played last year. They're really good. So Mothland put it out here. Pneuma V in
Austria.
And then Label Etiquette is like handling the digital stuff here. We also have a Facebook. We have an Instagram. We don't really use it that much, but
it's on Spotify.
It's on all the big sites. It's not
talk about having your own website. It's kind of like having your own fanzine, the same kind of ethic. I think there's no filter and there's no middleman.
Yeah.
I mean, those other telephone poles, you can staple up your flyers on the fake lip, the shitter, the instant ham.
For sure.
Your own fucking site, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Red Mass, RyanHanna.com or some shit. Think about it. You can even get a free one through the WordPress. Just something where nobody is in. There's no baloney between bread. The two,
That's two slices
of bread. What's next for you guys? What's your next plan besides the 1,011 songs?
We have another like kind of poppy project where I sing more. So we're working on we're finishing a record that we recorded with Martin BC.
In Brooklyn.
Yeah.
I was at the recording for Sonic Youth Evil.
Yeah, down
in his pad, and he didn't have a mixing booth. You were actually in the room with him.
I know. And there's like mosquitoes down in the basement. That used to be a munitions factory in the Civil War, that place.
That's what I heard.
Yeah.
There's like a little street in the studio. There's like a little street.
I played with Martin last October at the Horseshoe, Legendary Horseshoe Tavern.
Horseshoe, too.
In the big town, yeah.
We played the day before with him here.
Wow, and he had these guys with him. It was a good little band, you know, Martin.
They're great.
He's a great, music cat. Yeah.
So you're
doing a project. What, he's the producer recorder?
Yeah. And so we did that, and we did a few of the songs here at a studio called Break Glass in Montreal. So we're just finishing that off. We were supposed to go in the studio when we got back from Europe, but the COVID thing happened, so we're going to go in the fall.
It's not canceled, people. It's postponed.
Postponed.
And can I ask you something, since Montreal, what's that cultural Spanish palos? There's a cultural center that the Black Godspeed You Black Emperor guys.
Palo Rosa or Casa del Popolo?
Yeah, well, they're near each other, right?
Yeah.
They're face to face.
Yeah.
Or across the street.
Because
from
they
each
had
other.
A really creative scene going. Is that still around? That's
yeah, for sure.
Always. Montreal's good for that. Like, it's really mixed bag. Like, and those Godspeed, the people that are in the band,
Efren.
They run some of these venues, so they're really hospitable too, because they've toured, so they know how to how to be good hosts with the band.
They have a really great festival called Suoni per il Popolo too. That's really cool stuff.
That's right. And I played in that building.
It's great. You get to see free jazz shows. Like, you get to see stuff you don't always get to see for pretty cheap too. They keep the tickets prices low and they curate it well. Like, I saw Peter Brotzman a few years ago. They always get like stuff you wouldn't see on at some of the more you know, traditional jazz clubs, I guess, you know?
Yeah, much respect to them, truly. So you guys do, you are aware. Okay, that's good. Sometimes things get all isolated and separated, and they don't know, you know. In the old days, a lot of that. So that's good to know. Look, it's been a big honor for me to have you on the show. Thank you so much, both. Merci beaucoup. Truly. When you get this new music out, will you come back on the show and we can talk about the motherfucker?
Of course. Okay. Thanks so much for having us, and it's really nice to meet you over the audio internet.
Okay. People, it's been May 30, 2020, this is Wapedro Show, you know, last days of May. Keep your powder dry.